In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
All right, here we go on a Tuesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Coming up in 30 minutes, hashtag Creed is good, our guy. Creed Humphrey. It's been a while since we had Creed on the show.
It has been a little while.
Yeah, Creed's
been
joining us.
We didn't get him in camp this year?
We did not.
Oh, yeah,
we did not have him up at camp,
yeah.
So it's been a while since we had Creed Humphrey. We'll talk to him about the offense, getting things righted, the ship corrected, all that, right? Heading into week 5 of the NFL season. And he's got some cool stuff going on in Kansas City as well. You guys have probably heard him talking about outlaw days. And so we'll get into some of that with Creed Humphrey in 30 minutes. And then it's wrap-up day, if you will, for the 2025 Royals season. JJ Piccolo, Matt Quatrero going to speak at 11 o'clock. We will carry that live here on 96.5 The Fan. Obviously, a lot of questions heading into the offseason, and some of them, you know, they won't be able to answer today, but I'm definitely curious. I mean, if we're going to go through our offseason wish list stuff, you and I, here in about, you know, 10 minutes or so, but I'll be curious to see what their answer is when inevitably they will be asked, hey, are you planning on making any adjustments with your hitting staff after the offensive issues this year?
What things are you planning on changing? I saw Bobby Wood Jr.'s comments to Andy Rogers saying, this better fuel us and make us not be okay with just a winning season, but or getting to the playoffs once, but bigger and better things. And so I'm curious kind of if they're viewing their season this way, you know, because that does feel like the correct approach.
So Q and Piccolo at 11 o'clock today, Nate Taylor and the 1 o'clock hour, our Chiefs insider from ESPN, will be good to get his perspective in studio. We'll also be keeping an eye on baseball today. Postseason baseball does begin. We were kind of reminiscing in the bullpen before the show. Dusty was out there as well. We were saying, man, like a year ago, we were getting ready to go out to, you know, Jefferson's, we were doing the watch party, and it was those were good times. Playoff baseball is fun, and it's a bummer that obviously we will not have that in Kansas City this year. But we'll be keeping an eye on 4 baseball games today, man. We'll get these wild card games underway in the AL and the NL a little bit later on. I think the first game starts at noon, right? It's the 2 AL Central teams, the Guardians and the Tigers, the AL Central champion Guardians after all that. They're the first game today. So we'll make sure we're watching that throughout the show as well. You guys can interact with us on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. And of course, video stream will be up and running as well. Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, X. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of the shows here.
Somebody on the text line was already asking if our VinFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino, was returning this week. Typically Tuesdays is when he had been on before. Vinny, as a consummate professional, wanted a full week of uninterrupted football watching that baseball doesn't get in the way of.
Sure.
Before returning is our NFL insider. He'll be back next Tuesday.
Perfect. VFL insider segment will start back up next week. Yeah, looking forward to that. Someone saying Cody better clean his chair after Dusty's take on Jackson Dart's mom. I have no idea what. Also, I sit in Dusty's
chair. Also, you sit in Dusty's chair. I was going to say they got it wrong.
I mean, there are plenty of stains on this chair, but I'm pretty sure these are months and months ago. I don't know what to say about that.
Probably just Binkley's dick.
People are saying I should have cleaned the chair after you sat in it. I don't know. They said
it's
something.
Semen.
A little strong.
I was excited that the playoffs start in baseball.
No, someone said you said something about Jackson Dart and his mom.
Have you seen her?
No.
You haven't seen Jackson Dart's mom?
Seriously, no, seriously.
She's in black leather pants rooting on her son this past weekend.
That's, I believe she's single. Oh, is she?
I believe so.
Okay.
I'd change my name to Dart and just be Dusty Dart, the stepdad. Can you imagine?
Dusty Dart.
Does sound like a stepdad.
You thought Dirk Diggler was a name. What do you get Dusty Dart?
You got to pick up smoking if your name's Dusty Dart.
Oh, I'd smoke. I'd even have like the Jackson Dart eye black on my eye at every game.
And by the way, nothing like unfiltered Marlboro 100s. I mean, like,
you ever had an unfiltered Lucky Strike?
I mean, it's got to be like a... like an old school cigarette.
You take one hit of a Lucky Strike, you have toes like Deion Sanders, man.
Jeez.
So.
Maybe Joe Burrow, too. Maybe his toes as well. I don't know the way things are trending for his career, right, Drew? Anyway, let's get started.
I didn't bring him up.
I'm just saying. Yeah, he's already bailed on Jake Browning and the Bengals. He doesn't want to talk about
that. That's crazy, because 2 weeks ago, Drew and I were getting an argument about where he was playing.
We'll get there later on in the year, in the show as well. And later on in the year, we'll get to his Hooters outfit, which is inevitably going to happen. I'm very confident in that now. Let's talk about the aggressiveness from Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs. We saw yet again, Cody, on Sunday, on a 4th-and-2 from the Ravens' 45-yard line. Now, this was on the Ravens' side of the field, so it's not as aggressive as the one he had against Philly on his own, 35 outside of halftime, where the Chiefs came up short. But this is now another week in which they were willing to be aggressive in a particular spot. It ended up being a pass to Worthy, and then they also went for it again on 4th down on the 2nd drive. So multiple times in the game, and I'm wondering, will this keep up if the offense actually does show that it's back fully? Or they back off and say, oh, well, now we know we can move the ball. Because before, we thought they were just being more aggressive this year because they knew that, hey, not many opportunities to get this thing going.
I got to say, this is one of those that I am borderline pleading with them to make the obvious choice here, which is stay aggressive forever. Please, I'm begging you, continue to stay aggressive. Because what I've noticed about this team in particular, Gold, is they're good at it. This, and I think sometimes it's year to year. You want to know the truth. The Chiefs are good at it. They're good at being aggressive. They're good at getting it on 4th down. But so far this year, of the opponents they've played, it appears to be opponent dependent. They were not aggressive against the Giants. They just laid back and said, you stop them. I don't care. What are we going to do? Go for it on 4th down? I don't think so. Versus the Ravens game, Gold, even before it appeared that the game was out of control and the Chiefs had run away with it or anything like that, they were going for it on 4th down multiple times. Each of the first 2 drives, as a matter of fact, Gold, went for it on 4th down, converted both, knew they had to score, and this was before they knew their offense had fully hit stride in that game. This is because they knew the difficulty of the opponent. They're good at it, so just continue to stay aggressive. And I think you and I both know that the second, in a weird way, the second the offense started playing really well in the second half, I'm like, damn it, they're going to stop doing that. And it's not what I want. I think that they can be the best of both worlds. And when you have Mahomes, I don't know how to convince Andy Reid that this is who you should be. This year, it doesn't have to be year to year. You don't have to make it your whole mentality forever. But this year, this is the right team to push those buttons with. And because you're already showing success with it and the teams believe you can do it, stick with it and force these teams to be equally aggressive back.
We're not going to know for another month, really, that this is what they're going to do. Remember, there's part of me that agrees with what we're saying on the overall theme, which is, if they believe the offense is back, they're going to do it less, which you could argue shouldn't be the case. There's also part of me that wonders, the way Andy Reid answered that question a week or so ago when he was asked, you know, hey, are you guys being more aggressive this year? And Andy's like, no, we always are aggressive. And we pull up the numbers and it's just not true. They have converted very well over the years on 4th down, but the idea that they've gone for 4th down as much as anybody is just not true. So maybe it truly is an organizational shift and like he just doesn't want to make it a big deal.
But again, to this point in his career, he's been like 23rd right. under Patrick Mahomes in attempts. Yeah. So they just don't go for it very
often.
But
in the NFL, like when it comes to stuff like that, there's no secrets. Like eventually, as you get further in the season, if you become one of the teams that is ultra aggressive on 4th downs, and like everybody in the league knows that the Lions are going for just about every 4th down possible.
Dan Campbell, too, if it's within
there's no secret. So if we get a month in the season and the Chiefs suddenly are in the top 5 or top 10 of attempts, let's say, on 4th downs aggressiveness, then everybody else, like every other team will know that already. So that's why I don't get the point of trying to keep it a secret or intentionally not say, yeah, you know what, we are being more aggressive this year.
This point, his whole stance has been, we're always this aggressive, which you and I know to just not statistically be correct, and that they are aggressive, I felt like they always used a save it gold for, they would be their most aggressive. We talk about this in individual years. They would be individually aggressive depending on the game and as the season went on. So if we got to an AFC championship game and it was 4th-and-1 on their own 39, yeah, they'd go for that one. They'd push they'd move the needle. But because you're behind, you're 2-2, you're two full games behind the Bills, I think they're getting to 14 wins. If you're thinking like one seed, the division's more at risk than it's been in multiple years, you're only game back, but like it's more at risk, admittedly, and it's going to go later into the season. Well, then take some better chances at getting some of these wins. And those aggressive plays is why they ended up scoring gold on every single, like borderline scored on almost every single possession against the Ravens. I know it didn't work out exactly that way, but it was pretty damn close. Had they punted on either of those, they get no points. Not just the three they ended up settling for as they got deeper in the drive. Those are no point drives without the aggressiveness. Does that game go different if it's 7-0 and then you have to reinvent and then the offense has to come together? Probably. Probably a lot closer. Probably stylistically significantly different. You made a note early in the game to convince people to do it. I just stick with it is all I'm asking, Andy.
I think it's a fair point, too, from someone on the text lines from the 816 that says, hey, what about the aggressiveness on fourth downs correlating to how the defense is playing as well? Well, if we think this defense, and I think we both do,
my argument's always been you should be more aggressive.
If they're going to be an elite defense, you should lean on them more. They usually view it the opposite way.
Yeah.
And this with how they operate, which is, no, we'll punt the ball back. We trust our defense. We don't need to give them a short field. We trust that making a team drive 75 yards, 80 yards against this defense is not going to happen kind of thing. That's just how they've always operated. So I don't think they view it as, oh, we'll go for it because we trust our defense. They view it as we trust our defense, so we'll punt it.
Yeah.
Usually.
And I think that's backwards way of thinking. And I know that like based historically, you're right that that is how the Chiefs think. Doesn't it make more sense that you're like, well, my defense can still get a stop. They'll still keep us in the game. Let's take chances.
I think their thought is, hey, 80 yards on the defense versus going 45 yards on the defense. We think they can't go 80 kind of thing. I'm guessing that's the thought process.
I know, but like the couple of times they've come up short, they stopped it to a field goal in the first. Remember when they went, it was like on their own 35 against the Eagles or whatever.
Yeah, right
they came up, and they came up short, but they held them to a field goal, and the Chiefs were still decidedly in the football game. Had they gotten it, though, and this is the advantage, it did not really, statistically, in my opinion, hurt their odds of winning that game anymore. They were still going to have to do the things they did later in the game to stay in it. Had they gotten that, the chances of them winning that game feel significantly better than at any other point. And I know that this is a tough one because for the same reason Mahomes doesn't typically run the way he did in those first two games until it gets later in the season. They don't like taking those chances, or maybe they don't like putting those things on paper for people to see until they get later in the season. But I also just feel like the season's off to a weird start. So unless you win your next 8 games in a row and you're 10-2, and all of a sudden the one seed looks like it at play and you're just going to try to grind out wins on your way to the one seed. Again, I already think the one seed is the Bills. Maybe it's not 100%. I wouldn't rule out the Chiefs entirely, but yeah. I mean, it looks like it's the Bills to get by a mile at the moment. The schedule's way easier. The division's way easier. They're to have a 2-game lead on you for the standings in that. It just feels like a good year to be aggressive, especially because of the speed, too. We're not even talking about the Worthy Rice, right. Like the weapons part of it that makes sense to me. Athletic, linemen, so you can like get out in space, all that stuff.
Yeah, someone says you guys are missing the biggest part of this. It's Harrison Butker. He's going to force them to go for it more. We had that conversation yesterday, how they should. I don't think they're doing that.
That's another part of it.
Was exactly the conversation we had yesterday. Harrison Butker's not going anywhere, but you have to approach things differently, knowing that for him, the 56-yarder's not as sure thing. And by the way, last night for those saying that, like, hey, 56-yarder's, you can't be critical of those. And we went through and we talked about the other misses. I just saw a 40-year-old kicker make a career-long 59-yarder last night for the New York Jets. So
everybody's making long kicks
these days.
I actually looked it up because we had the conversation and we were past it, so I didn't want to do it. This is my point. Like, if it's 4th-and-1 and 55 yards out, go for it. Don't kick a 55-yarder with Harrison Butker. I looked it up because people are like, well, it's 56 yards. It can't be that much. Just so you know, this goes back to the same thing for what he's paid and how you should treat him. There are 15 kickers with a better field goal percentage of 50-plus yards than Harrison Butker this year. There were 13 last year. So, like, not that we needed to know that to reassure you, but just in the pantheon of people who kick 50-yarders, he's average. So, like, It's something they should consider as it points to their aggressiveness, yes.
I don't think it matters the kicker. If it's fourth and one in your own plus territory, you have Patrick Mahomes. Go for it every single solitary time. Forget kicking
been.
The field goal. No, I don't care who the kicker is.
I agree. They just haven't done it. I totally am with you. This goes back to the whole QB sneak convo, Drew. I'm totally on your side on that.
I would not even run the ball. You let him throw the ball. He's the best quarterback on the planet, or he's supposed to be. Honestly, let him throw the football.
Oh, I agree, because
let
he
him
might
throw
be,
the football,
he
Andy.
Might get it with his legs, too.
Yeah, let him throw back. The football.
Yeah, I agree with that. Always let him drop back.
Coming up in 15 minutes, Creed Humphrey, Chiefs offensive lineman, going to join us. We'll talk about, obviously, the first 4 weeks of the season and look ahead a little bit to the game on Monday Night Football when the Chiefs head down to Jacksonville. Also, a reminder, again, 11 o'clock, J.J. Piccolo, Matt Quatrero will speak live to wrap up the season. Thinking of the Royals, everybody has kind of their off-season wish list. Maybe it's signing somebody. Maybe it's an organizational change. Whatever it may be, you guys can text in a few. I've got three. Cody, you've got a couple as well. We'll try to narrow it down to three each for what we would like to see the rest of this offseason, or the beginning of this offseason, I should say, for Kansas City. I think, for me, you know, I've been on this all year. I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't know if it's number one on the list, but I feel like most of the personnel is going to be the same, so maybe this is number one. I think there has to be a shakeup with the hitting staff. We stopped talking about it once it became apparent they weren't going to do anything in season, so there was no point in me bringing it up every single week again. But you know my feeling on Alex Zumwalt and others in the hitting staff. I don't know how you can have the offensive season that you had up until the final 2 months and not make a change there. Last year, even when they made the playoffs, the offense was average. The year before, the offense was bad. It's not like you've ever seen out of this current hitting staff an offense that's towards the top half of the league anyway. So to me, you've got the players, you know, for the most part, the core that you're going to have. You just had a season where, yeah, you did have multiple players with 30 home runs, 100 RBI. You say, well, what's wrong with hitting? Yeah, but it's the other guys, not the star players. Like, you know, not to downgrade what anybody has adjusted and turned into a player into. I think they get credit for Michael Garcia's development, no doubt about that. You know, but after that, there has to be more success at developing hitters within the organization. You know, Carter Jensen hopefully can change a lot of that. Jack Caglione, we're going to see next season. But it's been a while since a player, in my opinion, a top prospect has come up other than Bobby Wood Jr., where you felt like, all right, there was true adjustment from the hitting staff when a player maybe is struggling. Some of the free agent signings as well. So to me, number one on the list is adjusting the hitting staff, whether that means moving on from Zumwalt or others.
I think adjusting the lineup is more where I'm at. If they decided to make those moves, I'm not here to like, hey, whoa, slow down. No, it's fine. I would understand the change of the hitting staff. I want them to reevaluate their order. And I know that sounds overly simple, but it's what bat do you need to make it a qualified lineup 1 through 7 in the attempt to avoid these lulls that the team has had each of the last 2 years where the offense just disappears. So like these two go hand in hand. I want them to rework the order, but that also means part two for me is you're going to have to get a bat that gets on base, and it's going to have to be probably at that left field position. But if you told me it was a super utility guy, if you told me it was, I would borderline put sign Adam Frazier on my offseason wish list. And
it's amazing how things have changed. Now multiple people are
all... Well, he's like a versatile player.
Everybody
can get on, you know, like he does a good job.
Everybody's freaking out about Cam Devaney getting traded, and now everybody's on board. They want Adam Frazier re-signed. What a difference a couple months makes.
I just want a qualified, you know, veteran bat, and they were significantly more consistent on offense once they had a guy at the bottom of the order that didn't do that. They did get on base. They did give qualified major league bats. So re-sign Adam Frazier, and then I would say... rework your order. The third thing I would do is fairly simple, which is I'd trade a starting pitcher to improve the lineup. Like that's where I'm improving the lineup. I'm trading away one of those guys.
Yeah, that's on the list as well for me. Vern kind of scared me a little bit when we talked to him last week that, you know, he doesn't feel like maybe necessarily they're going to be able to do much more than finding a platoon player. I still think they need to utilize the depth with the starting pitching with guys that have control that you can actually get a legit outfield bat. To help not only with the lineup, but also defensively as well, an everyday player. I don't know if they're going to do that, but that would be on my list. And then the last one, it's another staff-related one, and this sounds simple. You have to do whatever it takes financially as an organization to make sure that Brian Sweeney is still with the Royals organization. I don't know what he makes currently. All I know is the number needs to be higher because somebody else is going to come and try to poach him. And so
whatever he wants,
whatever that dollar amount is, it needs to be bumped up. You cannot afford to lose somebody like Brian Sweeney on this coaching staff and what he's been able to do with this rotation and multiple pitchers, whether they were homegrown guys once they got to the big league level or obviously trade acquisitions and maybe a tweak here or there. I think he's been outstanding. So two coaching staff related ones for me. One is making sure you retain somebody, and the other is moving on from somebody.
No, I get the part of Brian Sweeney, which you're talking about adding. Which of the pitchers would you trade? Just out of curiosity.
I think it needs to be Noah Cameron. Not that I don't like the guy at all. I think it's the control.
It's
because to me he brings back more than most of these other guys because of the control that he has.
So when you look at the offseason comments, they pretty much hinted at the idea that the people you would expect would be anchoring the rotation would be anchoring the rotation, as in it would most likely be the guys that you would think. It'd be Cole Reagans, Chris Bubich, and Michael Wacha, as in, you know, those guys aren't likely to go anywhere. If you listen to the comments they've made so far this offseason, not saying that they have to stick with every part of that. And again, we'll hear from them at 11 o'clock. But if those are the guys, well, then you have to make the decision between Kolek, Cameron, Bergert, Avila, and Lugo. Lugo will be in there too. I don't think you can trade Bubich, which means I think you can only trade Bergert, Falter, Bubich, or maybe Bubich, right? Let's put him at least on the list, and Cameron. And of those guys, look at how little they had to give up to get Bergert and Kolek. Do you think that there's people banging down the door for those guys just yet? The Royals have worked miracles with them, but I don't think their value is inherently changed across all of baseball in a month of watching them. It really only leaves you two guys. In my opinion, it only are three. It is the Chris Bubich, if somebody will give you something, but it's limited and you're just making a decision to move on from him, even though I don't think you're getting maximum value. Noah Cameron, the person with all the inherent value in the world.
That's
tons
the reason
control,
why he's the answer to me, is young, because of value.
And you've never seen him fail, so everyone in the legal thinks it's work. Or the big swing, which is you could trade Cole Reagans.
Yeah, I don't think you're getting as much as you think for Cole Reagans.
Which is, I'm just saying,
I know he looked good in his last two, which was a great sign, and maybe gives you some more versatility there. But I think Noah Cameron brings back the biggest haul. Sometimes you have to trade someone that people don't want to lose in order to go and acquire something that helps you long term with an issue that was glaring in 2025, and that is, of course, another outfield bat. Unless you're just going to roll the basically,
it better be an everyday starter.
Unless you're going to virtually roll the same team out there, and you're basically just hoping, as we've gone through, you're hoping that, you know, obviously you're confident Bobby will still be Bobby. Okay, that's realistic. Nobody's doubting that. Vinny, Ving, Vinny, sure. I don't doubt that. You're hoping Michael Garcia can do exactly what he did this year. Maybe he can. I hope he can. You're hoping that Salvador Perez, while Father Time, every year everybody's been waiting for it to catch up. It hasn't. So we just assume, well, it never happened. I think that's a risky proposition as well.
Oh, it's risky.
Then you're banking on I know bullpen, you can find pieces, but is Carlos Estevez going to lead the major leagues in saves again next year? Probably not. He had 42. That was the only bold prediction I got right, by the way, this season. Everything else was wrong. I don't know if you're going
Michael Massey at 25 homers. He was really good, by the way, since coming off the IL, but short tenure.
You know, so you're banking a lot of the negative stuff getting better and the positive stuff staying the same. I think that's very risky, which is why I think they have to go out and trade for an outfielder.
Specifically, they need a right-handed hitting outfielder. Yeah. I mean, let's just be honest with their current lineup construction. The other part, and this is what the scariest part about the Royals is, they are pretty much spending an offseason saying, we are banking on, or have to bank on, Carter Jensen, Jack Caglione getting a lot better.
And it can happen, but it's definitely not a sure thing.
And Carter Jensen was really good. Actually, you're just counting on Carter Jensen being what he's shown so far in the big leagues.
Yeah, it's like 19 games.
And I know, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. And Jack, it's the same as getting better. And Jack Caglione being a lot better. So it is definitely tough. We'll hear from the Royals, J.J. Piccolo, Mac Cotrero, coming up in a few minutes. Again, Creed Humphrey coming up at 10:30 as well. But last night, if you thought that there were going to be any questions about trading for a certain player on Miami, well, that's done, because Tyreek Hill unfortunately suffered a nasty injury last night. He tore his ACL. He dislocated his kneecap. He tore multiple ligaments in his knee. His season is definitely done, and his career might be in jeopardy.
Tyreek on a Monday night a couple years ago, maybe he was having that monster season right against the Titans, had to leave that game, and this is a tough one. And a smile through the disappointment.
Chris Fowler on the call there, ESPN, of course, the doubleheader Monday night game. That was one of those gruesome ones that you always kind of remember. We all, like, whether it was, the Ware kid for Louisville in the Final Four, like, those are injuries that you always kind of remember. Just nasty, you don't need to see the replay again type of injuries. Yeah. With someone like him that depends so much on speed and why he is who he is and why he's been so dominant throughout his career, when you blow up your knee like that, you have to seriously wonder, will he ever be the same? And an injury like that, given his age, next year is obviously in jeopardy as well. And I just wonder if Tyreek Hill will get back to that point again. You're already getting older. When you rely on speed, that's always going to take a hit. And now you're telling me that one of the most electric players literally shredded his knee.
I mean, into a, yeah, and like not the kind of injury. It's like, well, maybe he'll be back in a year. A year?
I didn't think they were trading for him anyway, because we went through the financials. I also think as an organization, they've kind of moved on from that. But this ends any of the conversation.
He's
unfortunately in that regard. Nobody wanted to be because of that reason.
He's 31 years old. He'll be 32 in March, which means a whole nother year. Like if he plays next year at any point, it'll be kind of a miracle, won't it? Considering we're a month into the season and he tore every single possible ligament in his knee, it seems like, and dislocated it. So let's just say next year's a wash. Or at the very least, he's not the same player. So now 33 years old? He's going to make a comeback and be a valuable NFL player at 33 years old. He might be on a roster, but the Tyreek Hill we're used to seeing, I think I'm with you. I don't think you can count on that.
His time in Miami is definitely done. I mean, just by the time he gets to that point in time, if he wants to keep playing, somebody will take a flyer on him, because why wouldn't you at that time? But you have to seriously question whether or not that is in play for him moving forward.
Tyreek Hill, just looking at his contract, ugh. He will be under contract next year, most likely. Although they could cut him, I guess. His cap hits $51 million. He's $28 million to cut. Usually can't cut a player on an injury-related thing. You'd have to injury waive him and work through the guarantees. But they could get rid of him. But, I mean, I don't know. It was one of those injuries last night. It was crazy. It was, like, joking. The reports were he was making fun of Waddle and Achane.
He was
like
laughing and smiling.
Joking and
that's
laughing
how he
and
was
smiling
dealing with
and,
the situation. Yeah,
yeah, and kind of going through it, but... I mean, it was a devastating injury.
All right, coming up next, Creed Humphrey, Chiefs offensive lineman, going to join us. We'll talk about the offense getting going. We'll also discuss some of the things he's got going on in Kansas City. That's coming up here on Cody and Gold.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's been a bit since we played that on the show. You know, whenever that song gets played, it's because Creed Humphrey's probably about to come on the show.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And it's been a little while since we had the Chiefs center join us on the program. We go out to the hotline and welcome in Creed Humphrey, who has got some really cool stuff going on in Kansas City, including this Friday through Sunday out at T-Mobile Center, part of Outlaw Days. The Creed's Crew section is actually sold out for all three nights. This is year three of partnering with the PBR and the KC Outlaws. Creed, it's good to have you on the show, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
So how excited are you for this weekend? We've seen you obviously heavily involved in PBR here for a while.
Yeah, really pumped. You know, this is my third year being involved with the Outlaws, and it's been super fun to be involved with them. The Outlaw days are an incredible thing. You know, it's really fun to go watch, and action packed, just super fun for people of all ages. So it's a blast.
Did you think that when you started in the NFL, you'd be having a Creed section at a PBR event? Is that something you had predicted?
Yeah, no, I can't really say that was on my bingo card. But yeah, no, it's awesome, man. It's a blessing.
also, they say that couples should have hobbies together, right? Your fiance works in this as well. What has it been like between the two of you to get to do it together?
No, yeah. My girlfriend, Anna, she's doing it too, and she's involved with the Outlaws, and she does a great job. You know, she's a lot better at, you know, handling the social media stuff than I am, like making videos, things like that. So she helps me out a lot too whenever I'm doing that stuff. But yeah, it's a blast to be able to do stuff with her.
That's my bad. Not trying to jumpstart the relationship to a different level, but with your girlfriend, Creed, and you talk about that kind of stuff that you guys do, when you guys go out socially, is it you let her do all the, you know, this is one person's usually the big personality who wants to be social. One kind of lays back. Are you the layback type?
Yeah, probably. I'd say I am. Yeah, we work well together, though.
We're talking to Creed Humphrey here on 96.5 The Fan. Obviously, I got to ask you about this offensive performance. I know in the locker room you were talking a little bit about just having fun again. Just what changed for you guys offensively on Sunday?
Yeah, you know, I think it was, like we said, you know, just we kind of had fun with it. You know, we played with a swagger. It was good to feel that again, you know. So we just got to continue doing that consistently. And proud of how the guys, you know, practiced throughout the week, prepared for the game, and they showed up ready to play.
It hasn't been, you know, the most streamlined start for Kingsley's start to the NFL, but we were talking yesterday on the show. It seems like the last 2 weeks in particular, that left side of the offensive line for you guys is really starting to figure things out.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's two young guys over there, and both of them have immense talent. So being able to see those guys working together, you know, grow as a pair over there on the left side, and you know, start playing well together and everything. You know, it's awesome to see. And, you know, they both have so much talent. You know, they have so much potential. So it's exciting to see them get to work and get after it.
What's kind of stood out about, I guess, them individually, like for Kingsley in particular, right? He's coming off a tackle and then having to learn guard. He's never played guard. Like, I mean, and you've been able to play one position. Is it hard, do you think, in your mind? Or you've been impressed by his ability to change tasks, change assignments?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's really impressive. It's a new position. You know, a lot of people think it's just, you know, offensive line is the same thing. But, you know, when you're playing different spots, I mean, there's five different spots for a reason, five different positions. So to see him be able to switch to there, and, you know, he's playing really well right now, it's exciting to see.
We did see in the offseason. Were you excited? The NFL added Protector of the Year. So you have a chance to win some kind of NFL award. You know, before they didn't respect the offensive linemen.
Yeah, hopefully there's another music video that comes out pretty soon to promote it. But
that seems like that's a challenge, perhaps.
No, yeah, it's awesome to see, though. Just the big guys getting love. It's a great thing, and like it was long overdue for something like that to come out. So I'm excited about it.
We're talking to Creed Humphrey here on 96.5 The Fan. You know, we had Alex Smith on the show last week, and he was talking about his experience with Andy Reid when in 2015 that team got off to a 1-5 start, and he mentioned just kind of how Andy handled it and the patience and the calmness. Now that you guys are leveled at 2-2, if you could take us back even the last few weeks, just what's it been like, you know, 2 weeks ago compared to maybe the mood and the atmosphere now?
Yeah, you know, I think everybody in the building knew what we can do, what kind of team we can be. It's just a matter of, you know, being able to, you know, put the work in and get to that position. So, you know, it was frustrating at times, you know, being 0-2 and everything, but we knew what we could do. So it was more just staying focused on, you know, the controllables and how we can handle how our approach to the week goes and everything like that. And then things would fall into place. So, yeah, just, you know, everybody stayed calm, everybody stayed relaxed, but everybody stayed focused, which is a good thing.
We were talking yesterday on the show that the kind of the aftermath of also the Sunday Night Football game, and I don't know if you had a chance to catch any of that. Of course, the 40-40 tie with the Cowboys and Packers, and there's been a lot of conversation anytime that happens. Hey, you know, should we have ties? Where are you at as a player? You've played competitive football your whole life, so what have you ever had a tie?
I'm trying to think if I've ever had. I don't think I've ever had a tie. No, preseason games, I think we've tied before.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
What do you make? Like, do you think that should be a thing, or should it? Hey, no, we got someone's got to win this thing.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm a competitor, so I'd like to see a win and a loss, not a tie. But I understand reason for it and stuff. So you know, for me, I'm indifferent about it. But yeah.
Back to the off season a little bit. One of the big storylines, obviously, was whether or not they were going to get something done with Trey. We know that you guys are really good friends. That doesn't seem to be a secret. You guys are very, very close. Was it hard trying to stay on the outside, being like, I hope they sign Trey back, knowing that like the risk of losing a very good friend would be different? Because in the NFL, players move. But at the same time, it's you guys seem closer than average, I guess.
Yeah, you know, for me, it was, you know, I went with the best for Trey. So, you know, I was just letting the process play out. You know, we stayed in touch. We talked throughout and everything. But for me, it was, you know, I was rooting for Trey, and whatever is the best thing happened for him would happen. So, you know, I'm very happy we've got it being done in Kansas City, and he's going to be here for a while. You know, it's a blast playing beside him.
I like to think it's like a sitcom. Do you guys, like, have houses next to each other where, like, the yards connect, or are you guys thinking about that next?
No, not that. we're close, though, yeah.
One of your teammates, Isaiah Pacheco, during training camp told us, you know, he was down in Puerto Rico at a Bad Bunny concert, and, like, they did the jersey swap and everything. Bad Bunny, of course, named the halftime performer, hopefully in a game and a performance that you can't even watch because you guys will be in the locker room, hopefully. But do you listen to Bad Bunny? What do you make of that news?
Yeah, you know, I've heard a couple of his songs. I know he's, you know, extremely popular, so... for me, it's pretty cool, I guess. But, I know a lot of people like him, so I'm sure it was a good fit.
Who's your dream artist? What kind of do you listen to? If you could have anybody play a Super Bowl halftime for you, who is it?
Oh, I mean, I feel like we'd have to go with Creed, you know? Creed would have to be.
fair enough.
It makes the most sense for you, admittedly.
Yeah.
When you look at, like, where the team, like, now going forward, Andy always says, we're game to game, we're week by week. Is it hard sometimes to not standing check or keep an eye on the things when you feel like maybe you're chasing people in the division or chasing people at the top of the AFC when you haven't been behind that in a long time, it seems like?
Yeah, you know, for us, it's just staying focused on the task of, you know, the present. So just focusing on the game that week and handling your business then. And if you do that, things will usually fall into place.
Creed, you told us about Outlaw Days, which is coming up this week, and you also have a pretty cool event going on at Boulevard Brewing, the Tailgate Gala, next month.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I've been working with Boulevard for a few years now, and it's been a dream, you know, partnership with them. So it's been a lot of fun, and we're doing a gala coming up later this month to benefit with the harvesters to help fight hunger.
Yeah, whole campaign, Creed of the Crop, Tailgate Gala, October 21st over at Boulevard Brewing. I know you guys will have the raffle, meet and greet, barbecue buffet, of course, beer, and people can go to harvesters.org as well.
Yeah, definitely. We're really excited about it. It's always a great event, so we're excited about it.
Creed, we really appreciate the time. So wait, just one last question on the Protector of the Year. Are you already working on a music video, or are you requesting we make one for you?
I can't say I'm working on a music video. No, I'm not. But hopefully someone out there is.
There you go. Now everybody knows. Creed, appreciate it, man. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys so much.
There you go. That's Creed Humphrey, Chief Center, joining us here on 96.5 The Fan. He's got two really cool events going on, the Tailgate Gala, as we mentioned, over at Boulevard on the 21st, and then Outlaw Days this weekend through Sunday, so Friday through Sunday, out at T-Mobile Center. He's got his Creed's Crew section. It's already sold out for all three nights
cool.
As well. They're partnering with the Outlaws. He's going to be out there with some of the teammates there on Saturday night.
You have to admit, Creed Humphrey feels like a great fit for Outlaw Days and PBR. Like, he's the right spokesperson for it. They chose the correct person.
No, it's a perfect fit.
To go out
fit.
There.
Text line's giving you a hard time.
I know.
Text
I'm trying to pre- I thought
Drew had a giant
so
smile
people,
on his face at the
there's
time,
There's so many
too.
People have proposed in
I
Kansas
saw
City between Kansas City.
Girlfriend and I
the
like,
second
oh,
he
no.
said girlfriend, I went,
No, Cody, no.
I just, there had been so many proposals from Kansas City athletes because they're all, like, young at the same time together. A lot of the Royals and Chiefs. And I thought, oh, they're engaged, certainly.
Whoops.
I said my bad. That's my bad.
It happens.
Look, we weren't like at a, you know, we weren't at a dinner together and I said fiance in front of her.
No, you're just
maybe
on,
she wasn't listening.
You were just on the radio in Kansas City. No big deal.
Surely she wasn't listening, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just going to assume she wasn't listening.
There you go.
You know?
Yeah. There you go.
Otherwise,
I'll tell you
question.
Right now, if they announce an engagement in the next week, I am going to feel very responsible for that somehow. Like, that is definitely my fault
my
somehow.
My goodness.
Wow. My bad. My bad. Really looking forward to those things. Yeah. Obviously, Boulevard and Creed and all that stuff is a great fit as well. Plus, Harvesters is a great local place.
Of course. Yeah, no, really, yeah. Really cool event coming up next month there at Boulevard Brewing. Coming up in about 20 minutes, JJ Piccolo, Royals General Manager, also Royals Manager Matt Quatrero, will be addressing the media live here on 96.5 The Fan. They'll kind of wrap up the 2025 season and answer questions, of course, heading into the offseason. We'll see if some of the questions we were mentioning and solutions and everything like that get at least addressed. Doesn't mean we're going to find out the entire offseason plan today, but you get the point. We'll see if any changes are expected with staff and over the next couple of days. I believe yesterday they kind of had their exit interview stuff, you know, the typical exit interviews of the season wrapped up before the guys all head back to their respective, you know, hometowns and whatever their offseason is going to look like.
Yeah, and it's a very interesting offseason ahead for them.
That music also means college football.
I mean, if it's a drum line,
it's college football discussion time.
Fits, you know?
It was a unreal slate this past weekend. It lived up to the hype. We said the Heisman race was wide open. Drew, where are we at now?
The Heisman race currently has Dante Moore at the top, as it should. I think he's the favorite in every single book, no matter which one you use. But he should be the favorite and probably the foreseeable favorite for the rest of the season. I mean, if he plays the way that he did on Saturday night against Penn State, he's probably going to come away with the trophy. Might even potentially go number one overall in the draft.
Happy Valley took him down. And also, Penn State was lucky to be in that game.
He was poised. I thought, you know, the noise did not get to him at all whatsoever.
True.
I mean, he had three touchdowns, no picks, 29 of 39, 250 yards, also ran for 35. He didn't seem like the moment was too big for him in what, to this point, was the biggest game of the season for Oregon. So, I mean, he looks like the goods, and he was one of the quarterbacks, the many ones, mind you, where we were like, well, we don't know exactly what we're getting in Dante Moore. Highly touted recruit, bounced around to a couple different places. Now he lands at Oregon, a good spot to be, and he is tearing things up.
I'm convinced that every quarterback in college football is better at their second or third stop than they are at the original. It just feels like every quarterback I see having a great year for a college football program is on his second or third stop.
In fairness, he was at UCLA, so a lot of people are wanting to leave there.
Sure, but I'm just saying
that program's a mess. That is a mess. Yeah, I mean, like, I still think the Heisman race is wide open. Like, I'm not convinced now it's Dante Moore's to lose. I mean, he definitely has other big time matchups coming up. I think let's not forget what Simpson did for Alabama.
Yeah, I think Ty's doing very well.
That was an impressive win for them as well. They got a huge game this weekend against Vandy. But yeah, it was an awesome college football weekend. Elsewhere, what about what's happening with Alabama Moore? I know you were tweeting a little bit about that.
I was going to say, you guys mentioned Ty Simpson. I think a lot of people were disrespectful a little bit of Kalen DeBoer. Like, well, he's not a good coach. It's a must win. The game was on the road in Athens. Like, if they lost the game, if it was 24-21 and they lost the game to Georgia, he's not getting fired, and nobody should be mad about that because it was between the hedges against a top-five team. Instead, they won the game. They were in control basically for the entirety of it. Obviously, Ty Simpson is the goods, but Kalen DeBoer is showing that the team is good. They got Ryan Williams fully healthy, which is good for them going into this game against Vandy, who looked good, and then obviously the foreseeable future with them playing Mizzou and then so on and so forth. I just think that people jump the gun, and I think we do that a lot, and myself included, of course, in sports where, well, this guy's not good enough. If he has to win this game, otherwise he's gone. I think we jump to that conclusion a little bit too quickly sometimes.
I understand, but like at the same time, had he lost that one, I would have just assumed Alabama was a 3 or 4 loss team again. And you can't go 9-4 and 9-4 in your 2 years at Alabama. They do not. They, especially being the coach who comes after, like, the greatness part of it, that was never going to be acceptable. 9-4 can be fine if you're coming off of like a down year for Alabama or a couple of down years for Alabama, but he was coming off the single greatest coach of all time. That just doesn't help anything. And so, like, he was always going to be a little bit at risk. That was a big win for him.
That was
a big safety win for him. I didn't think he was close to getting fired, but they were going to start questioning it.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure, especially because you have the expectation. I think, I mean, because the SEC is so good. I don't know if there's anybody that only has one loss this year. I know there's some undefeated teams still, but by the end of it, it might be just a bunch of 10-2s or 9-3s.
And then Georgia now. I mean, Kirby Smart with Alabama, whatever. That was the only, because of the weird scheduling, that was the only the first time Kirby Smart even had a chance to get a home win against Alabama. They've always played either in Georgia or in the college football playoff.
That's crazy.
It was weird. And so, but Alabama's always been kind of the issue for him.
And now that they don't have divisions, of course, it makes it a little bit easier in terms of how things shake out with the schedule. And then there's one more thing that I wanted to talk about, and I think it's really
natty, though, so that helps him.
Ironically, over Alabama also. I think this is really good for college football. If you're not paying attention to it enough, and maybe Bink and I are just sickos, but The group of six is very, very good. We've seen multiple upsets from group of six teams over, whether it's SEC or Big Ten or ACC teams. It's really good for college football. The group of six is better than it's ever been. You can make a case for five or six or seven teams to make the college football playoff based on how well they're playing in their respective conferences.
Are any of them ranked yet? Are any of the group of six teams ranked?
They've been in and out. Not currently. South Florida was. They're getting votes still. Memphis is getting votes. North Texas is getting votes. And UNLV is as well.
That's a good group, yeah.
And then Memphis, of course, getting a big win over Arkansas, I think it was.
Arkansas stinks.
Arkansas fired their coach right after the game. And
Arkansas should ironically hire Ryan Silverfield. Why not hire the guy that beat you? I think that there's also a lot of hot coaching commodities in Group of Six.
How did we do an entire college football thing, and you mentioned Arkansas, we didn't mention the fact that Bobby Petrino is back coaching Arkansas right now?
Yes, that Bobby Petrino.
What is the... I'm trying to think about... Would that be like if Romeo Crennel was coaching the Chiefs again next year? And look, Petrino had success, so it can't be that. But it's got to be somebody who had success and then left in disgrace. And then
that's why there is no
that
comp.
Football in a nutshell, though. I think that there's a lot like
normally they get a job somewhere else. They don't get a job at the university they left in disgrace. It doesn't usually work that way.
And there's not a comp.
It'd be like Art Briles being back at Baylor.
Yeah, there's not the Romeo comp doesn't work because he didn't leave in disgrace. He just didn't coach
well. Didn't win enough games.
The Petrino one with the whole, it's an all-time press conference photo that still lives on to this day with the neck brace and everything. It's an all-timer. And then he fired multiple people instead.
Yeah, he started canning people.
I think that's...
I'm surprised they gave the interim head coach enough power to start firing guys I presume he just didn't like on the staff.
I'm very surprised. It is interesting.
He had a lot of problems with you people and just starts walking door to door.
We now have four major college football firings then in terms of Virginia Tech, UCLA, Arkansas, and then Oklahoma State as well. I mean, there's some bigger time openings. Of course, UCLA is...
What's the best
is,
job for you?
Out of all of those, it was Virginia Tech, but I think Arkansas might be better just because...
Money?
Yeah, Oklahoma State was having NIL money issues.
Arkansas's got that money.
Yeah. That plus, obviously with Jerry Jones, they have some. But I think
SEC.
Also being in the SEC too, and then Virginia Tech probably too, Oklahoma State three, and the UCLA a very distant four. There are group you. There are better jobs in the group of six than going to coach at UCLA.
How do UCLA fall so far off in the athletic?
They have money problems. They have no boosters. Their investment is really terrible.
It's a disaster for them.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. Mick Cronin, who's still coaching there, by the way, has been very vocal at how much help they're
Mick
not
Cronin
giving at the university. Like, he's been very vocal in how
he's going to be leaving soon.
I think if he could, he would absolutely go somewhere else. He's probably making enough money where he's like, you know what? I guess I can put up with it.
Someone says Bobby Petrino has coached for a second time at all three colleges.
Spengali, man. He could talk his way right back into a building. But again, he had a neck brace on. The way he lost it, left at Arkansas, is decidedly different.
Motorcycle accident. Yeah. With
I think you're right. I think you're right. It would be a comp would be if Art Briles found a way back to Baylor somehow as an assistant.
And then eventually became the head coach and started firing people.
Yeah, I understand that Arkansas is Walmart money as well with the Waltons, but Jerry Jones also
Tyson Foods too.
Jerry Jones has some pretty good, pretty heavy pockets as well. Let's not act like Jerry Jones is not.
Oh no, but just between Walmart, Tyson Foods, and Jerry Jones, Arkansas, there's plenty of money to go make it happen and have success. It's why Coach Cal is the basketball coach now.
Yeah, as well.
I mean, it was all money. I think Tyson in particular was why the.
It's just tough if you're Arkansas though. It's just difficult. Like it's just being a part of the conference where Arkansas at its peak was 9-3 or maybe 10-2.
They should be much
better. When they
had
Darren McFadden.
They should be much better.
At least more competitive for sure.
They should at least be at the Missouri level of the SEC. You're a competitive team. You win a lot of games. You go to bowl games. And in your best years where the schedule is favorable to you, you have a chance to go to the college football playoff. Arkansas has been nowhere near that for the last few years.
Sports Talk on 96.5 The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We are about 10 minutes away from heading out to Kauffman. Hearing from Matt Quatrero and J.J. Piccolo as they wrap up the 2025 season. Look ahead to the offseason as well. But Travis Kelce kind of goes with the Xavier Worthy convo yesterday. He had his best game of the season. I know he had the touchdown in week one, but this was his best game.
Who
I went back and asked a couple of people at the time, like, what they were seeing defensively against teams. Like, because I'm not going to go through and grind the L-22. Let's be honest with you. I'm not going to do that. So made somebody else look at it and just tell me what they see. But in asking a couple of people who look at the tape in that way, Travis Kelce, despite the fact what people say about him nationally and publicly is that the man is washed, is he was still being essentially double team and bracketed by every single team in football for the first three games because he was their only weapon that they truly feared. Not that Thornton didn't get some catches or Hollywood didn't get some catches. They didn't fear him the way they fear what Travis Kelce could do to the offense and keep the Chiefs on the field and everything else in between. The second Xavier Worthy showed up, Travis Kelce looked better. I still think there's life in this Travis Kelce season, as in like real juice as a solid two or three option where he gets five catches for 65 yards
just can't be the
and
guy.
A score in multiple games. No, it's fine. Yeah. That was when he was 1,100 yards, 1,200 yards, 1,300 mm-hmm. yards. I still think there's a 50-yard, 60-yard per game player in there for the rest of the way, and it's about to get a whole hell of a lot easier
for
Travis Kelce.
If you're a defense in about a month, you got to worry about Rice, Worthy, hopefully Brown as well, Thornton,
way before
Kelce,
you worry about Travis.
Like you start seeing that, like, where are you going to go? Somebody's going to have a great opportunity to have a big day and find some space. And maybe, and I don't think it's going to be the same every week though. You know, like I get you what you're saying on the yards per game average. That might be the case. It might average out that way, but there might be one week where a team thinks they've got the plan. Like, hey, we're not going to worry about Travis. We're going to try to shut down Worthy and Rice, and he has a huge day
you say it might balance who goes after.
But that's the beautiful thing. When you actually have multiple playmakers on the field, it's kind of hard to defend. And when you have also the quarterback that you have, it becomes very difficult for defenses again. And I think we saw a small glimpse of that on Sunday, obviously against a very bad defense. But whether it's against Jacksonville or the first game for Rice back is going to be against the Raiders. They're not the best defense either. Good luck, Raiders. You're defending the offense at that time. We'll hopefully have Rice, Worthy, and Kelce, and hopefully Brown.
That might be another ass kicking like the one we just saw that game.
Yeah, the Raiders are a mess.
Pre-looking at that game 3 weeks from now, although the Chiefs' run defense has shown some cracks a couple of times and Genty's finally broken out in a single game. But yeah, I think that it's not an accident that Travis Kelce looked his healthiest and his best and his most open the same time Xavier Worthy showed back up.
Up next, we head out to Kauffman. We're going to hear from Matt Quatrero and JJ Piccolo and look ahead to the offseason with the Royals next.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.